Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, for years and years, I have waited with bated breath to see, you know, how does God take your passion and use it to build a kingdom? And, you know, there would be one person that you would have to say, well, he's more of a God than person that would encompass that beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. And that would be Jesus. And I know you may be shocked to know this, but we actually have Jesus's phone number. He's called in today. And he's on with us right now. For the first time in the history of Kingdom Pursuits, I'd like to introduce Jesus. Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits.
Well, thanks for having me. Not all of my children welcome me with such open arms and love as you all have.
Well, if you're blessed, and Cameron, who's on the show with me today, and his wife and his mother, Joanna, have been to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I've gone every year, and they have the blessing of having Jesus there at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention every year. And he walks from booth to booth and gives us an opportunity to share, actually. And it's one really always a treat to have you with us, Jesus. It really is.
Well, I appreciate that. I love to lift up my father wherever I go.
I got to say, it's a pleasure to meet you, Jesus. And just want to thank you for all that you've done in my life.
And now, wait a minute. What do you mean, it's nice to meet me? You met me a long time ago. Now, come on.
Oh, you got me. You got me. It's a pleasure to be on with you, Jesus.
Yeah, it really is. Not only do we have Cameron, but we also have Bert. And Bert, I know you've never had an opportunity to see Jesus like we have, not like this anyway. But no, now you at least have a chance to talk to him.
Oh, great. It's good to be here today.
It's good to be here with
He's
you.
He's walking
too.
By faith. He doesn't need to see me. He loves me anyway.
I thought you were going to be in the studio today. I was super excited.
I was excited too, but he had to make a stop to where he couldn't be in the studio with us today because we're going to try to stream that live on Facebook. But if you've ever seen a lot of the selfies coming out of the NRB, you'll see a lot of us have had our picture with Jesus. I've had it many, many times. I know you got your picture with Jesus last time you were there, didn't you, Cameron?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
How many selfies do you think you had, Jesus, with people at the NRB this year?
I think it was about 100 this year, honestly. more. It was pretty amazing. Beautiful. And it's like, you know, people from all over the world and every age. And you know what else is beautiful? It wasn't just NRB. Probably another 50 from the hotel that just walking through. In fact, last night we walked through the sports bar and caused quite a stir at about 12 midnight. It was wonderful.
It does. Whenever something like that happens, it's really amazing.
I figured, where would Jesus be with the sinners? So we went right in the bar last night. it was great.
So, you know, one of my favorite stories that Jesus shared with me, we're going to get to several, but, you know, that just I found amazing was that you had somebody come up to you with their Bible asking you if you knew whose that was.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is really a cute story. We had done a video series that's going to be coming out of Jesus and his disciples, and we were doing a pitch-a-thon. Called Pitchstone. We were presenting our thing to some producers and distributors, and I'd left my me and my personal assistant were up there, and I left my my bag, my little carry-on up in the room. So the one of the workers there, he gave it to a security guard. He said he'd take care of it, and so, you know, because he opened it up, looked at it, and he was trying to find out who's this bag. And he opened up, and he looked at the Bible, he opened it up, and there's nobody's name in it. Like, oh no, how are we going to find out whose this is? So when I got it back, I told him, yeah, sure, nobody's name is in it. I wrote it. He just lost it.
So actually, you know, I can't keep this up forever. Gerald Wallens has the opportunity to play Jesus at the NRB every year. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that somebody's given you a passion, obviously, to have a very unique ministry. Because I imagine that anywhere you go, based on the way you look, Gerald, that whether you're in the full costume that we get to see or you're just hanging out, I imagine you've heard this a time or two, that, man, you look just like Jesus.
Hey, man, it's really something, because I see a lot of, we all see a lot of gentlemen that have the look that, my look is kind of like the in between all of the European artwork and the most famous artwork that we know about what Jesus looked like, and it's been passed down. I'm more of the Western looking Jesus and so forth. But it is true that as I'm walking around, even with my hair pulled up, a lot of times I'll get, especially children, they'll say Jesus, or they'll look at me, or it's usually the wow. people that really love the Lord that pull that down, because it's not just the physical, but they sense the mantle that's upon me. And that's in all humility, because I've been doing this 28 years, and it's hard for me to even say that. I can't believe it's been that long since I was in the youth group and played Jesus the first time. But the Lord anoints you with what you're called to, and you don't do this unless you're called. It's just such a joy and an ease to me. And the people that don't understand it, and maybe a religious spirit or two that go, man, what are you doing? Let the Lord test their hearts. And if they don't want to go to movies or watch television, that's their thing. They don't believe in the dramatic arts,
I was doing my, I do a Friday night Bible study with a group of 20s and 30s. And we were talking about the topic of evangelism and just how do we open those doors. And one of the things we said was, like, for instance, if you have opportunity, like with a waitress or something, you mm-hmm. leverage your eyes. You use your eyes to break down their barriers and go right in. And I know a lot of the pictures of Jesus and stuff like that, it's something about the eyes that just see into the window Beautiful. Of the soul there. And so, yeah, it's just...
Well, it's obviously it's an interesting thing. And Cameron, if you don't know, Gerald is in a wheelchair. He had a diving accident similar to Johnny Erickson Tata, and his ministry is based on obviously people engage him from that, and then he has an opportunity to pray for them, talk with them, and witness to them. And they are just back from Ireland, and so That's Cameron right. Horner wow. Ministries there with us today, and we also have with us our good friends with the Child Evangelism Fellowship. We have Bert Manzone, but it's Kingdom Pursuit, so we got to have a riddle. And so we thought with this unique opportunity that we have today to have Jesus on, speaking of Jesus, right, I get an opportunity to tell my favorite God joke. God and Jesus, you may remember this, we're playing golf with Moses. And, they all stood up to tee off, and Moses, it was about a 400-yard, par four, and Moses got out his driver, and he knocked it, about 380 yards, but there was a water trap, water hole, right? And so the ball hits the water, and as you might imagine, Moses goes up with his staff and parts the water and, chips onto the green. Pretty impressive, right? But then, Jesus, if you remember, you were up next. And Jesus pulls out a 9-iron, and Moses is like, what? You're not going to... 400-yard shot with a 9-iron, and he goes, well, Tiger Woods can do it with a 7. I'm Jesus. And so he hits the same shot, as you might imagine. It hits the water, too. But, Jesus has a little more style. He walks over there to the ball. And when he does, some other golfers come up from behind, and they see this guy walking on the water. They see you up there. And, of course, they're astounded, and they go, who does that guy think he is, Jesus? And Moses says, no, he thinks he's Tiger Woods. It is Jesus. But then my favorite part of the story was God gets up to shoot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Do you remember this, Jesus? When we come back,
I love a legend.
We're going to.
I think I remember reading this part.
Yeah, God's going to shoot. When we come back, we've got so much more Kingdom Pursuits. We're going to find out about this event coming up with Child Evangelism Fellowship, find out about Cameron's trip to Ireland, and more than that, you could call in and talk to Jesus. You've never had a chance to do that. Actually, talk to him on the phone. This is your chance. 866-348-7884. So much more. welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And a little unusual, we got stuck right in the middle of my riddle, so I want to be able to finish my... But before I do that, before I finish my riddle, I need to say that today we're so blessed to have with us Gerald Wallens, who plays Jesus at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And, you know, so in fact, you know, you get an opportunity to call in and talk to Jesus today, not only to answer the riddle, but you can talk to him. 866-348-7884. And we have Cameron Horner with Cameron Horner Ministries. They have just come back from a mission trip to Ireland, and so I'm so excited to hear those stories. And we have Bert Manzone, who's with the Child Evangelism Fellowship, and their event that is coming up with Marquis Laughlin. It's starting Thursday, March 15th. It goes the 15th, 16th, and the 17th. It should be quite an event. A word for word dramatization of the books of the Bible. So you're excited about that, right?
Oh, yes. Marquis recites from memory full books of the Bible. And on Thursday, March 15th at Parkway Baptist Church on Benjamin Parkway in Greensboro, he'll be reciting the first 22 chapters of Genesis, word for word. And then on that Friday, March 16th at the Grace Fellowship at South Park in Reidsville, he will quote the book of John, the Gospel of John. He'll quote live and then from memory. And on Saturday, March 17th, at Life Community Church, Wendover Avenue, Jamestown, Greensboro area, the Revelation.
Okay, there you go. And to bring you back up to date, if you missed out on the beginning of this joke, I hate that for you because it's a great joke. It's actually my favorite God joke because it really makes a wonderful point, Jesus, that only... someone that's walked with God for some period of time can see it. So you might remember Moses got up, hit the ball in the water, parted the sea, you know, knocked it up on the green. Jesus walked on the water, knocked it over. But now it's God's turn. He gets up. He just takes the drivers like, you know, a normal golfer. This is the Father. And he hits the ball and is just like the other two. It heads for the water. The difference is this time a frog comes up, grabs the ball before it gets into the water, and before the frog can hit the water, an eagle comes down, grabs the frog, flies over to the hole, drops the frog. The frog hits the green. The ball comes out of his mouth. Of course, you know it goes right in the cup. And at that point in time, you remember, Jesus, you turned to Moses and said, "See, that's why I never go golfing with Dad."
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
I'm glad
three of us have fun together.
So anyway, the point of that, which I think is wonderful, is that if you've ever been around God, he doesn't necessarily just hit the ball and things always come at all these different angles. Like, I never would have thought of that and that and that. And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes through. That's how it happens so many times. So at the end of all those shenanigans, you know, I'd actually have a riddle. And so if you can call in and guess this riddle today, which is really another one that actually cracks me up and I laugh a lot just thinking about it. Do you know who the smartest man in the Bible was? Who was the smartest man in the Bible? If you can answer that, Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
A book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault. All you have to do is call in at 866-348-7884. Tell us, who was the smartest man in the Bible? You tell us that, you could win a book from the prize vault and have an opportunity to actually talk to Jesus. This is a rare opportunity, but I'm looking forward to those people calling in, don't you think, Cameron?
Yeah, I feel like the standard answer though might just be Jesus.
Well, a lot of people don't give it away because you could. I've got a book from the prize vault for you, Cameron.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't know if that would be giving it away because, I mean, who else?
There is somebody else, and I think you're really going
to. I'm trying to flatter Jesus because he's on.
You're going to be patient and wait, right, Jesus, for the people to call in to actually, you know, have
of
the answer.
Course. You know, time doesn't really mean much to me, so.
Well, Cameron, tell us a little bit about your adventure and how you ended up going to Ireland.
Yeah, sure. It it's a really unique story, and kind of like the riddle with God and the eagle and all that. You see God's orchestration of things. This is actually our third trip to Ireland, and each time is kind of built on one another. First time we went, primarily we did a prayer walking, intercessory prayer in the streets of Dublin. And then the second week of our stay, our first trip was to build relationships with local pastors and leaders and other Christians. And then next year we go, and all of these fellow believers just invite us to come back to the churches and gatherings to speak and share our story and our journey. Well, this year, our third year, was the most incredible. We did a similar type thing where we met believers and pastors and stuff in a new area, and the amount of love that we were just lavished on by the fellow believers there, it puts the South to shame. I mean, just how kind they are. But some of the things we were able to do was to use our situation to help equip youth workers who were dealing with trauma in this local seaside village of Greystones, Ireland. And you know, we don't have any professional training other than we've been put into a situation, and God has used what we've been through to throw us into all kinds of different stuff through life. And when you go through stuff with God, you learn. So, you know, we just used what we've been through to help equip believers there for the first week.
And so, you know, therein lies, you know, Joanna's story to a great extent, because can you imagine your son becoming, what would you call it, just paralyzed below the waist, something?
It's actually chest down.
The chest down. That happens to your son, or you're actually afraid he's going to lose his life, and now you're beginning to walk through that long term. And so that's some serious trauma, right, Joanna? And I'm curious how you related to those people, and what was the trauma they were going through?
Yeah, well, Ireland, anything hard that comes upon them, they really don't have with the intimacy with Jesus to be able to run to. You know, that was our whole hope, was in Jesus. And he came and he ministered to us. And so for the first area, went into Greystones, it was very unique in that when we were coming, they sent us questions, and some of the youth leaders were trying to minister to the youth who had lost one of their best friends in a drowning accident. There was a 15-year-old girl in the community that had lost her life, and the young people were devastated, of course. And so the youth leaders are trying to minister to them for this trauma. And so, because when you're familiar with trauma, could we come and we help them? And Cameron, I remember talking about, you know, how do you help someone? There was no recovery. There was just loss. And so when we went, we were able to speak to the youth leaders and to the youth and some of the girls that were there with her when it happened.
Oh, they were.
There were some girls
with
her. So as Cameron shared his story, where they had been holding in, not knowing how to express their grief, when we began to open up and share, he shared his story, and then I began to talk about just being with Jesus, their tears began to flow, the first time ever. And so...
Oh, hang on just a second.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I'm very familiar with Cameron's story, but our listeners may not be.
Yes.
And so can you imagine now this situation? Even Jesus, I imagine you're actually remembering it all. But Cameron dove into a lake that you guys always went to. And now imagine that you're one of these girls that watched your friend drown and you hear this story. So Cameron, could you share, you know, kind of that aspect of your story?
Yeah, exactly. And your mind's going the right place, because that's kind of the connection we were starting to make. So I'm under the water after a diving accident. I jump in into a shallow lake and I'm totally paralyzed, can't swim up, holding my breath, and begin to call out to the Lord. And a tangible peace comes in the moment. And we really encourage them with that aspect, that God would give someone peace in such a situation to get them through that. And so
actually, if I'm not mistaken, I'm wondering, could they sense that the poor girl that drowned actually was given grace at some level based on the grace that you received?
Well, you know, I don't know if they sensed that, but that's what we shared with them. They asked us, would you go and pray for her? You know, as they begin to, you know, they didn't tell us their struggle, but as we shared ours, just presenting young people with a question. They want to talk, so I said, share your struggles with us. And so it just became very open.
Right,
so I went to them and I said, do you remember what Cameron said? He said, the peace of God came upon him. You know, I want you to know that Jesus was with her. Cameron said, he came and he was with me. So we sort of for them, helped them connect. Just that this girl who was in the water a long time, they didn't know she was there. So as they discover her missing, she was found under the water. And so, but to bring God into it and say, you know, God was with her.
And so, Gerald, as you're listening to the story, I can't help but wonder that, you know, just based on your appearance, that at times people come to you with trauma that they've experienced actually because they're looking for what it is that you represent just with your looks.
One of the most common times and places that that happens is the Lord has given me a very obvious ministry to the gypsies in America.
Mm.
I've been to about 28 churches, and they are very, from their backgrounds.
Oh man, I hate that music is that.
Okay.
We got to go to a break, and we're going to find out about Jesus with the gypsies. And I'm obviously more Cameron's story, more about the fellowship, the Child Evangelist Fellowship event coming up. We got your opportunity to call and talk to Jesus and tell us who the smartest man in the Bible was. 866-348-7884. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build a kingdom. And we're so blessed to have with us today Cameron and Joanna Horner, fresh right back from their mission trip to Ireland and the wonderful stories that are along with that. We have Gerald Wallins, a very unique character, as you can hear, but a very gifted man to play the part of Jesus at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and speak at your church and so many other places. He has a really vibrant ministry. We're going to find out more about it in just a minute. And we also have with us Bert Manzone with Child Evangelism Fellowship and their event. It sounds like it's going to be really outstanding as Marquis Laughlin quotes huge sections of the Bible from memory on March 15th, 16th, and 17th. Again, you can go to cef.com and find all this information because they're, you know, website is going to highlight where you can find Gerald in all those different places. And I'm very excited to tell you that we have a caller who is going to take a shot at who was the smartest man in the Bible. Now, I was shocked that we didn't just light it up with that one because it seemed like it pretty easy. But I get to laugh a lot when I tell you the answer that I had. Now, your answer will probably be a lot more biblical than mine and smarter than mine and wonderful, and I'm going to look forward to your answer at 866-348-7884. But when you hear mine, I sense a laugh coming, a pretty good one, that, you know, it could happen. But when we left our hero Jesus, or Gerald Wallin, he was, oh, wait a minute. We got Chatty is in Greensboro, and we got to get to this answer, you know, because who was the smartest man in the Bible is a very important issue. So, Chatty, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
So who would you say is the smartest man in the Bible?
I would think it was Solomon's, King David's son.
You know, that is a great answer. And you're exactly right that from a standpoint of born of woman, you know, he was given all that wisdom, just a very, very smart man. Don't you think, Cameron? She's a winner.
I would say she's a winner. And when you hear Robbie's answer, you're going to say, yep, she's definitely the winner.
I probably got it wrong.
You got it right, but I have something that is a little more punny that, you know, would take a certain corrupt mind like mine to come up with. But
not corrupt, unique.
Thank you for calling in, Chatty.
I got it
wrong. No, you're not wrong. You are absolutely right. God bless you. We're sending you out a book from the prize vault. And I am so grateful you called today, Chatty. Did you want to talk to Jesus?
No.
talks to me every morning, guys. Don't worry.
I talk to him every morning and night, but not in person. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chaddy. God bless you. All right. Well, when we left Gerald/Jesus, he was talking to the gypsies. Oh, which, by the way, if you want to take a shot at my answer, 866-348-7884. But, Gerald, you're in. Tell us a story.
You brought up a really, you guys, through your ministry, it's amazing. I'm just sitting here. We've been, me and my friend here, Douglas, we've been sitting here imagining what you guys did over in Ireland. And I think it's so awesome how you used something that people would consider such a negative and turn it around into a powerful weapon for the Lord. Mm. I mean, that is awesome. And then you were talking about tragedy and how people deal with it. And then people will come up, you know, because of my character and ask me really hard, tragic, you know, questions because they feel like I represent, you know, it just draws them in. Well, the reason I brought up the gypsies is because, as you know, there's some people groups, some cultures, some faiths that are very, in a way, kind of, would you say, superstitious, or they'll sometimes wrong emphasis. They may bring some human beings into that, well, I need to go through, let's say, a saint or through, you know, because I was raised Catholic, and, you know, sure, we honor the mother of Jesus, but, you know, we don't need to go through her to talk to him. But sometimes, you know, the gypsies, they have a background, a very superstitious mixture of witchcraft and different things, and then also Catholicism. There's a lot of messed up, you know, kind of a wrong belief system. But so what I would minister so many times, especially the children or some of the very immature, maybe that just got saved or weren't yet, they would really like, they knew I wasn't Jesus, but they were so in awe of the anointing that was upon me. And I say that in humility because it's a calling, that they would either feel like almost I was Jesus, or they would be like, well, you're so close to him. If you pray for me, I'll get healed. Or if you give me the answer, I know that it's right. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah.
So I would ask the Holy Spirit, how do I use that to reach this person? Wow. But of course, make it clear that I'm not Jesus. And it does happen sometimes, but I feel like the Lord wants me to use me to make this point, to remind everybody out there that we've got to stick to the Word of God.
Amen.
We've got to be filled with the Word.
That's right.
And the Word brings truth. Yeah. And we've got to be careful of error. We've got to be careful of our emphasis. And we've got to go to Him. And the Holy Spirit is with us on earth. He has all the answers. He's the one who gave Solomon all his wisdom. The Holy Spirit in us is the smartest of all. He is the one. So we can be and have the mind of Christ, and to depend on that and that relationship with Jesus to get through life and every disaster, every pain.
You know, Gerald, if I can jump in there, Robbie, that brings up a good point, because all of the ministry that we did over there, especially the first week, was to equip the youth workers in this community to be able to speak into people's lives with trauma. And they sent us this myriad of questions before we got over there, and we're looking at them like, I feel totally unqualified to answer half of these questions. So we started seeking the Lord, interviewing even a couple other youth workers that we know that have been in youth work for a while, and the word that the Lord gave for every one of these situations to speak into, and then the word that we even took to every congregation that we went to was personal intimacy with the Lord. And you said, one, you actually just used the word relationship, but we have to have God's word in our hearts, and we can use the avenues of prayer and the scriptures and worship and fellowship with others to enter into this like intimate relationship with the Father. And you see all across that nation, all across this nation, that's not the case. There's this huge breakdown between the reality that God is a God that says, draw near to me. I want relationship with you. It's what I created you for. And you're right. I would resonate with what you said, Gerald, Jesus, that we have to have his word in there. And it's such a place of joy to just be constantly eating and feeding on the scriptures. And then you're prepared to actually speak into situations of trauma. You're prepared.
Because when you got over there, what you found out was that the schools, you know, here's this phenomenal tragedy. And the schools are now looking for answers because they see the result of these of the depression of everybody trying to deal with this tragedy in this small community. And so, wow, they brought in their youth workers as what, chaplains or something?
Yeah, so what's really cool is this young girl dies tragically. It's weighing on the whole community, but it opens the door, the hearts of the local schools, their administrators and stuff, principals, to say, look, we need to get a Christian godly influence in our schools. Mm-hmm. So they asked the local youth workers, which are all 20-somethings, come in, take an official chaplaincy position. Here's an office. Just get in the lives of these kids. But with the new opportunities came new difficulties. So how do we address those? Personal intimacy with God.
Yeah, really. And so, you know, that leads us to our other guest, Child Evangelism Fellowship, right? Which is Bert Manzone. And Bert, you know, that's the next generation coming up. And if they can develop that intimate relationship young, that's what you're doing this event for, is to provide that, right?
Someone someone told me the other day at a local hospital that with the visits to the emergency department, they have six or more children under the age of 12 that are in the ER each day or each week because they tried to kill themselves. Children today need something. They need salvation. They need the Lord.
They need that intimacy.
And Child Evangelism Fellowship is the world's largest ministry with the purpose of evangelizing children. We're currently in more than 200 countries around the world. And we're very active, of course, in the local area. I represent the Greater Greensboro Area Chapter. The first main outreach that we have, the flagship outreach, is the Good News Club. Good News Clubs are held after school in local school buildings. In our area, we currently have six that are taking place right now. And, of course, we're praying that we'll be able to go to all the schools. And we can do that, but we cannot do that without the volunteers. So we're very thankful for our volunteers. And, of course, as we increase our ministry, there's an increased need of volunteers. So this Acts of the Word with Marquis Laughlin is an event that we're bringing to the area to be a blessing to all who will come and witness this presentation. And it's also a way for people to become familiar. We'll introduce our Ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship to them. And all of the information of these three events is on our website. It's cefgga.org. cefgga.org.
And we got, wait a minute, we got Jim in Greensboro, who knows the smartest man in the Bible. This is critical stuff. I hate to interrupt. But for me, it's just,
rubbing,
you know,
you got.
But he's still getting Jim's information. I interrupted too quickly. We got him in a minute. When we come back, we're gonna be able to hear from Jim. And I know you've been sitting there on the edge of your seat to wonder who is the smartest man in the Bible. Jesus knows that already. Gerald Wilkins, Cameron has been able to establish it, but you need to know it. So stay tuned. We got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. You might even want to call in yourself and talk with Jesus. 866-348-7884. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom, and what a lineup we have for you today. Can you imagine somebody giving you a passion to portray Jesus? I mean, what a unique opportunity to have that, like Gerald was saying, that mantle on you. So Gerald Wallins, who is an actor, wonderful addition to the NRB every year. I've seen him for years and years and years, and so grateful to have him with us today. We have Bert Manzone with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and their wonderful event coming up, Acts of the Word, where you get to hear Marquis Laughlin quote huge amounts of scriptures from memory. All that's, again, at Child Evangelism Fellowship of Greensboro's website. And then Cameron Horner, just fresh back from Ireland, and I know people are going to think that I didn't get enough for Cameron. I want to hear more of that. Well, the good news is he's on Disciple Magazine. That comes on every Saturday at 12:30, and I'm going to bet you we're going to be hearing tales from Ireland for weeks and weeks and weeks to come. We're very excited, as you know, Cameron is just a dear brother, and so amazing to see you know how God has worked through his ministry and his life. But right now, if you're like me, you're wondering who is the smartest man in the Bible. And Jim in Greensboro, I am so grateful that you called with the goods. Who was it, Jim?
The smartest man in the Bible, going to the Old Testament, it would be the man who embraced righteousness and forsake evil. In the New Testament, it would be the man who forsook sin and started following Jesus, not the Jesus that's on radio with you.
Right. Well, I bet he has a lot of people following him, but which man is that you're talking about in the Old Testament? Let's go with that one. What's his name?
Well, any of them that,
I can't. Here's the one that you're going to like this, Jim. You're going to like this. I think we might get a laugh. Okay. Because the person you talked to he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, right?
Sure.
This guy.
Exactly.
And so he definitely, but the other part that he has over the other characters in the Bible was his name was Abraham, and he knew a lot.
Excellent.
That really cracked me up. Thank you, Jim, as usual.
Everybody out there, if it's taking you a second, just.
And what about the New Testament?
Well, I'm going with, like you said, those who follow Jesus. Wouldn't you agree with me, Jesus?
Yes. Well, you're talking to that Jesus. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. But in the New Testament, I would say Paul.
Okay.
Paul really tried to destroy the church, and he couldn't do it. And he started following Jesus, and he spread the gospel. And he was a very, very brilliant man.
And he wrote by faith, you know, you're saved. So there you go.
12 or 13 letters, book, whatever.
That's awesome. God bless you, Jim. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for even allowing me to talk.
Oh, it's always
good. Have a good one.
God bless. So getting back to Ireland, did you move on from there to another place to minister?
Yeah, so after our first week of just being blown away, so many opportunities. It's neat. You can go over there with a couple things set up, pre-planned, but then you get there and just so many doors fling wide open. Our first week was spent in the east near Dublin area. So then we rent a car and drive over to, it's called County Clare, which is on the west. And we had made a lot of relationships there with folks in the past, and just began with our normal things we had set up. And then as the week goes on, you have a new opportunity opens up. You travel over here, you meet this pastor here, and y'all have just have a prayer time. So fantastic week in the West. But everywhere we went, the message that we had on our hearts was to encourage the believers, because that's our primary focus. It's a short-term missions trip. We've been through a lot, and God's gotten us through it. So what do we want to do? Use our story to encourage believers. And everywhere we're going, we're saying, prepare yourself to, we had this word, represent God. Not just represent, but represent God to this nation. And how do we get equipped to do that? And again, the word we took everywhere we went was personal intimacy with God in the secret place, by yourself, daily. And we began that just Monday night with this group of believers in a community center, all full of the Holy Spirit, started worship. I shared my story and what got us through it. It was personal intimacy with God. Tuesday, first day off of the whole trip, we still end up in somebody's house that night to just love on them. John McCarthy, a famous surfer, turned to Jesus using his passion to minister to others, just like you have folks on here. So do that for the whole week, then ask to come and share at a church service in a little place called Mongret. Incredible story of how this American missionary 30 years ago, travels over there, gets a word from the Lord, starts his church 30 years later in this little old, I don't even remember who started, but this little old school in this little town of Mungret, Ireland. She starts his church, and now 30 years later, it's just, you know, no church is huge over there, but it's large, passionate for Christ, have established so many different things. And sure enough, the Lord allows us to meet her, and they take us out, and she starts speaking words into my life as I'm sitting there chewing over the thought, Lord, am I called long term here? And then she's saying, I've been praying that the Lord will raise up other young people, a new generation in Ireland. We're just getting blown away by everything God's allowing us to do, all the people we're meeting, all the stories.
So, yeah, yeah, that's wonderful. And, you know, I just love to see the fire, you know, when I see the fire over here in my friend because I failed to mention that Jim won the tickets, $30 tickets, by answering who the smartest man in the Bible was. I mean, that's a big deal, and I messed up on it. But, Jim, be encouraged that we have tickets coming your way. Tell them about them, Bert.
Jim, you have one. I was going to do my radio voice, but I decided not to. I'll leave that for the producer. Jim, it's a $30 value. Our adult prices and our prices for this event are really just to recoup our costs of bringing him in and presenting to the community. But it's $10 for adults, $5 for children, and it's a $30 maximum for a family that would want to come to one or all of our events. So Jim's won a family ticket worth $30 or more, depending on how many children you might have with you.
And he lives in Greensboro. So.
You live in Greensboro. And I would encourage him to even hold that ticket and let it be known that I'm giving Jim the permission to use these tickets for any or all of the three events. Thursday, March 15, Parkway Baptist Church on Benjamin Parkway. You'll hear the first 22 chapters of Genesis
quoted
from memory in a very dramatic way. Very dramatic, emotional presentations. And then on Friday, March 16th, you'll be able to hear live, word for word, the Gospel of John.
And then Saturday, March
17th,
Revelation.
I'm excited about that one, too. Of course, I'll be at all three of them. But I'm excited about Saturday at Life Community Church on Wendover Avenue is the Book of the Revelation. And these are all at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock each evening, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7 o'clock.
And Gerald, I want to give you an opportunity because Gerald takes his ministry all over the place. And I would love for you to share with our listeners ways that they could engage your ministry. You have the floor.
All right. The way that people can reach us is we have a website. It's actually being rebuilt now. It's called JesusInTheRealWorld.com. And, you know, the whole idea is, you know, we as Christians are called anointed ones or imitators of Christ. And, you know, that's what I do in a physical way, but it's what we all do. So the idea is in this ministry is to really kind of impart to the body of Christ that, you know, we all need to go out and imitate Christ in our own way using our different talents, just like you guys are. And so people can have us come to a church, to a school, to a jail, to whatever, an orphanage, and they can tell us, would you like us to preach, to do a drama, a reenactment, which we can sing, we can bring dancers, you know, we can bring a large production, just myself, we can do a Last Supper reenactment, whatever works with the message, the theme, the need.
Right, you can imagine, you've got a big event coming up to bring Jesus is going to be a hit. I can assure you the NRB would not, we're talking about the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. They can hire the best Jesus money could buy.
Do you do birthdays?
And you know what's beautiful is I've been going there about nine years now off and on, and I've never received a cent for going because the Lord's the one that sends me, you know, and I also a systems integrator by trade. That's my tent making, my carpentry businesses. I build studios and churches and commercial, you know, business by design and install and audiovisual equipment. But I also go to minister. And so it's a beautiful kind of a two-edged sword where I can go there and just remind people what it's all about. You know, people get so caught up in business, they forget.
That's just right.
The Lord uses it.
And again, a lot of people say, Robbie, that's almost sacrilegious what you just said. Please hear me. That loving on Jesus is a tremendously fun thing. Being with Jesus is a tremendously fun thing. I promise you, as a sense of humor, I promise you that he wants to laugh with you. So I'm hoping that you'll take your passion to have a good time with it and go out and share Jesus with as many people as possible. Again, Gerald's website, jesusintherealworld.com. Your website again, Bert?
CEFGGA.org.
And Cameron Horner Ministries.